Once again, good evening and howdy. My name is Father Chris. I'm the associate pastor here at St. Mary's Catholic Center. And I don't know about you, but the cry of my heart is one of just how good our God is to be able to allow us to be here tonight, knowing that a year ago, many of you were possibly watching the Triduum on your computers or on your cell phones. And what a gift it is to be able to be here as God's people, to be able to encounter him, to be able to receive him in the most holy Eucharist. So you know what? That deserves a big whoop. Awesome. You know, when that Holy Spirit groans inside of us, it just comes out as a whoop, right? I definitely want to be able to welcome just some of anybody who's here that's visiting us for the first time. So maybe even you're a cradle Catholic and you've never been to the Holy Thursday Mass, the Mass of the Lord's Supper. Or maybe you're a Protestant or even non-believer and you're here tonight, and it's so good that you're here to be able to encounter our Lord with us. So a special welcome to any of our visitors and guests. Also a special welcome to anybody joining us on live stream. It's definitely good to have you all here with us as well. I also want to give a special welcome to Father Greg Gearhart, the vocation directors of the Austin Diocese. That's good. Awesome. It's a little bit of a homecoming for him as well, knowing that he was assigned here a couple of years ago. A special welcome and a thank you also for Deacon David. We'll hold the whoops until the very end after I announce all these people. We're not going to have time for announcements at the end, so I'm doing them real quick before we start the homily. So Deacon David for being here to assist at the liturgy as well. A special thanks to Mike and Becca, who are in charge of the choir, and the choir for just your amazing gifts and talents and using them to worship our Lord. Definitely a gift. I thought y'all were going to be the 12th man tonight standing, but I'm glad you're able to sit for a little bit. Also, a special thanks to all the servers who are here, all the men who are giving up a lot of their time to help make sure this liturgy runs well. Thank you, Mary's men, for your help, as well as to David Oeda, who's our liturgist. at the end. So just for all of his help in coordinating, setting up, he's spending a lot of long hours this week, so definitely thank you, David, for all of your help and emceeing as well. Thank you to Madeline Hill and all of our staff who helped set up as well, Anthony Gearhart and Allison, who are live streaming for us and taking pictures to be able to capture these beautiful moments. So thank you so much. And last but not least, a special thank you to our good and faithful pastor, Father Will Stratton. He deserves his own whoop. Especially, it's a great gift for me to be the main celebrant tonight as a new priest. You know, this is the night that is the institution of the priesthood, and Father Will, in his humility and his servant-like heart, has allowed me to be able to celebrate tonight. So it's a great gift for me, and he's a great model of service and humility for all of us. So thank you, Father Will, for your continual guidance of the flock here at St. Mary's. All right, we needed that one last loop for everybody, so one last time. Here you go. So my friends, as I said, this evening is called the Mass of the Lord's Supper. And my hope is that each of you are going to be able to see its beauty, and that it will center your heart on the cross and allow your soul to soar into the heights of the heavenly realm this evening and into tomorrow and into Easter Sunday. The Lord desires to speak to each of our hearts tonight. And right now, ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes, to open your ears, to open your minds and your soul, so that you may be able to fully receive our Savior on this night. His hour has come. The priesthood, a miraculous gift of love. And so we begin. Through the incarnation, God elevated human nature by emptying himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness. How mysterious, how miraculous, all for love. And then again, God bestowed on human nature the gift of baptism, so that God himself may dwell in the hearts of men and women. Yet again, how mysterious, how miraculous, all for love. And my friends, if these sanctifications of human nature were not enough, God graciously chooses some men, though unworthy, to be his priests. Men whose nature is elevated once more, as St. John Vianney said, to hold the place of God, and who are invested with all the power of God. How mysterious, how miraculous, all for love. A priest, a mere man who has been given the power to pardon sins, to transform ordinary bread and wine into his own body and blood, that brings new life, as well as new life that is granted through the waters of baptism and helps that same soul to pass from this life into the next. My friends, as St. John Paul II said so beautifully, the priesthood is a mystery of a wondrous exchange between God and man. A man offers his humanity to Christ so that Christ may use him as an instrument of salvation, making him, as it were, into another Christ. Unless we grasp the mystery of this exchange, we will not understand how it can be that a young man hearing the words, "Follow me," can give up everything for Christ in the certainty that if he follows this path, he will find complete and personal fulfillment. How mysterious, how miraculous, all for love. My brothers and sisters in Christ, as I reflect with you on the institution of the priesthood in the Eucharist this evening, I will include some of my own journal entries from my first year of priesthood, not as a way of boasting, but only for the purpose of revealing a small portion of my priestly life and heart. My hope as a point of intimacy, of insight, of encounter, and of love with our living God. And so I begin with a journal entry from June 29th, 2020. I quote, "Jesus, I was ordained one of your priests 2 days ago, which was epic." "I do wish I could say it was the best day of my life, but to tell you the truth, Jesus, the best day of my life was yesterday, the day after my ordination, the day where I had my first Mass as a priest at St. Mary's in Aggieland." "What a dream. Jesus, it was so amazing to be this unworthy instrument that you chose to bring about your body and blood on the altar. I was so nervous and at times shaking, but I didn't mess up. I was so worried I was..." I guess when you're writing your journal, you don't think you'll be reading it to an audience that would laugh. The Holy Spirit knew what he was doing, right? "I was so worried I was going to trip or something, but it didn't happen. Jesus, all the people I love most in my life were there at the first Mass. My family was there, my friends and roommates from when I was at A&M, my best priest bros who were there by my side surrounding the altar and celebrating with me. The choir was beautiful. The church was full of your saints and angels, and it was glorious. It was a taste of heaven. Lord, even in the midst of the darkness of COVID, you sustained me. You blessed my life abundantly, and I am forever grateful. This day of my first Mass was the best day of my life." "All right, Jesus, I'm tired." "Give me a little bit rest, especially before I start this road trip with my bros across Texas." "I love you, Jesus, your new priest, Father Chris." I wasn't expecting that sound effect either. P.S. "Jesus, I met 2 members of my new flock outside of St. Mary's right after my first Mass. Their names were Skylar and Ryan. I think they are roommates. Help me to remember their names when I return in the coming weeks." All right, end quote. The purpose of the priesthood. My brothers and sisters in Christ, on this day that we commemorate the institution of the priesthood, remember that the purpose of the priesthood is to bring Jesus to the people and the people to Jesus. A priest is ordained for the people, to love the people, to serve the people, to lay down his very life for the people, and ultimately to lead them to heaven. That is the purpose of the life of a priest, to get his flock to heaven. It is a high bar, but a necessary bar. No other purpose will do. A journal entry from July 13th, 2020. Today, Jesus, I anointed a man who was dying from COVID. His name was Stephen. You know him, and you love him above all else. He has fallen away from the church and from you, but at the last minute, in your mercy, you used me to pardon him of all of his sins and anoint him with a sacred oil to help his soul pass from this life into the next, being welcomed by you into your kingdom. Jesus, Stephen's children are very distressed that they cannot be with their dad on his deathbed because of COVID. It's so horrible, Lord. Your people are dying alone. Do something. I guess you can be there with their father, Lord, and with his grieving children at the same time because you are almighty. Send your mother, Mary, to comfort your children in their distress, and I will be your instrument in the hospital room. Use me, Lord. Use me to save your people. May the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. End quote. The mystery of the priesthood. So I've heard it said that if a priest truly understands his priesthood, he would die. I guess we still have some learning to do, guys. But it is true, my friends. Priests do miraculous things. A divine power is given to them by Christ that will last forever. The acts of priests have eternal consequences. Do we understand how credible that is? How amazing that is? How mind-blowing that is? The baptized soul is forever marked for Christ. Nothing can undo it. Nothing. The sins of the greatest sinner in the world are wiped clean in the confessional with one small prayer of absolution. And 20, 30, 40, 50, possibly 60 years of sin are gone forever. Through the gestures of hands, the coming down of the Holy Spirit, and a few words spoken by human lips at the altar, ordinary bread and wine become Jesus' body and blood, which gives life to many. Lord, help us to more deeply understand, to glimpse your majesty, to more fully embrace the beauty of your priesthood. A journal entry from July 15th, 2020. Jesus, so far in my priesthood of only 2 weeks, I have cast out demons in your name after praying exorcism prayers with a man who's messed with some pretty dark stuff in his life. I have blessed a marriage bed for a couple who's having a hard time conceiving children and comforted them in their pain. I have cleansed many souls in the sacrament of confession, celebrated mass to feed your people with the bread of angels, and I had dinner with a spunky group of widows. Jesus, this is my life. This is the priesthood, and I am in awe. End quote. For the salvation of souls. My brothers and sisters in Christ, God allows us to see our dignity, our own worth, our value by allowing us to participate in his very work. God could do it all on his own, but he chooses not to. He allows us to help bring about the salvation of souls by the cooperation with his grace in our work in the vineyard. We are all called to this work of evangelization, but priests in a special way, in a particular way, are chosen by Christ to bring about the salvation of the world, especially through the sacraments, which are vessels for God's grace. God, in his goodness, allows this participation for the sanctification of priests and of the people. Now, I got a little story for you, Ags. So my little nephew, Jack, is almost 3 years old. And sometimes my older sister, who's actually pregnant with her second one and due on Easter, she will allow Jack to help her make cupcakes. Now, my sister could just make the cupcakes on her own, and they would probably turn out a lot better and more appealing. But instead, out of love, she lets Jack help with the mixing of the batter and, of course, icing them at the end and putting on the sprinkles. Oh, you should see the smile on Jack's face and his utter joy as he's helping his mother to put the sprinkles on the cupcakes. And my friends, if that is not enough, the best part is when my brother-in-law comes home, Jack's dad, And Jack runs to him with his arms in the air and shows him his masterpiece of the work that he did today. And he lets his daddy try some of the cupcakes that he had just made. And Jack's father, who's a very good father, even though the cupcakes might not look perfect, he rejoices with his son in his great accomplishment. And Jack leaves the kitchen smiling from ear to ear because he knows he is loved and he knows how good he is. He knows his great worth. And my friends, in a similar way, our God wants us to help him make cupcakes too. He wants us to know our great dignity. He wants us all, especially definitely all the baptized, to share in his work of redemption, but in a special way, once again, the priests in their job. That their job, that their life is for the salvation of souls. A journal entry from August 17th, 2020. Lord, I have been at St. Mary's in Aguilan for 1 week now, and I love it. I keep pinching myself, making sure this isn't a dream. I cannot complain one day as long as I'm a priest here. Seriously, Lord, is this real life? Jesus, please use me here to bear much fruit for your kingdom. Help me to lay down my life and bring these students to know your mercy and love. A challenge I face, Lord, is how to have a missionary heart as a priest. Show me the way to reach to those students that are not in the St. Mary's bubble, to bring back the souls from campus. Right now, Lord, I also have a bit of restlessness in my life because my office and my living space are a mess. I desire to get moved in, Lord, and to settle down some roots. Some students I have met so far, Jack, who's a lector, Luke, who's a sacristan, Julia does connect, Lance plays the organ, and Lex, Troy, and Caitlin, they all work in the coffee shop. Help me to remember their names, Lord. The priest, tension of a sinner and a saint. While the priest tries to stand up straight and tall in order to fulfill such a role of perfection as a representative of God, as a man who is in persona Christi, he knows all too well the call to be perfect as his heavenly Father is perfect, is a call in which the priest consistently falls short. Through such disappointments from the laity and the priest alike, one must ponder, is it possible to be both sinner and saint? A priest must veil himself in prayer and put the full armor of God on in order to combat the enemy, which is not flesh and blood, but the principalities, the kingdom of darkness, who do not use the same weapons and are all trained to attack priests in different manners. The life of a priest is a life with a cross. He must suffer in this life if he is to master his own sin and the sin of others. And sometimes the priest falls, and when he does, the flock is wounded, sometimes dispersed, and the body of Christ suffers. Jesus, have mercy on us. Come and save us. My friends, knowing that I'm treading on holy ground here tonight, especially in regards to this topic, I know here at St. Mary's these words hit pretty close to home. We have felt the heartache of losing multiple beloved priests to the temptations of the evil one. In my short 9 months of priesthood alone, there have been 4 well-respected priests of the Diocese of Austin who've been removed from ministry because of the attacks of the evil one. I very much hate the evil one. He's a big jerk. And I beg each of you here tonight to pray for me and all priests for the grace of perseverance, that we may be able to be faithful to Christ and his church, and that his hand may never lift from our heads. We need the prayers of the faithful and your example of holiness in order to lay down our lives for Christ and his bride, the church, day in and day out, especially in our current culture of today. Journal entry from October 14th, 2020. After all that has happened, Lord, I'm tired, but doing okay. There's such a weight here from the Father Brian incident. Jesus, sustain, comfort, and heal your people. The students continue to give me hope and life during this difficult time. Help me to be a source of your mercy and love for them. One permanent parishioner told me that I'm no longer in my honeymoon stage of priesthood, but instead walking through broken glass. But I disagree, Jesus. Even with everything that has happened, I'm still in my honeymoon stage of priesthood, but only by your grace, only by your grace. Lord, allow your light to shine in the darkness of Aggieland. Mother Mary, pray for your hurting children and help us to heal in time. Amen. A prayer of hope and perseverance. My friends, these wounded priests whom we love, who I believe are still good and holy men, are men that are in need of healing and restoration. But even in the midst of pain, darkness, and doubt, Christ promises that he will never abandon his people. He is the good shepherd. The gates of hell will never prevail against his church. And I ask, my friends, that you not abandon Christ or his bride, the church, either, no matter the pain and agony you may receive at the sins of broken priests. When children are sick, their mother cares for them night and day. She checks their temperature and feeds them soup in order to nurture them back to health. Later on, when a mother advances in age and becomes fragile, it is then her children that care for her in her elderly age. They do not run away or abandon her. She is their mother. My friends, in a similar way, Holy Mother Church cares for and nourishes her children through the sacraments, and in a particular way through her priests, their spiritual fathers. And when her priests are sick and wounded, she's in need of care. My friends, do not run from caring for her. Do not abandon Holy Mother Church. Though her children will come and go throughout time, Holy Mother Church will always remain. A journal entry on February 2nd, 2021, while on my first priest retreat. Lord, I'm so humbled to be on retreat with all these priests, some old, some young, but all here because you called them. These men have given so much to you and laid down their lives for you and your people, even if imperfectly. Many of these men are worn down, beaten down, needing renewed and refreshed. These men who are holy and wise and yet imperfect, just like me. Thank you for their priesthood, Lord. Help me to follow in their footsteps, your footsteps, in which all priests walk in. Amen. The priest and the Eucharist. My friends, the reason I am a priest is, yes, for the people, yes, to serve, to journey with the people, but most of all for the Eucharist. Without the priesthood, there is no Eucharist. And without the Eucharist, there is no church. And so tonight we turn our gaze from the priesthood to the Eucharist, which is the source and summit of our Catholic faith. Tonight we remember and do what Jesus instituted at the Passover meal, as St. Paul reminds us in our second reading. My hope is that our first and second reading brought you back to our Lenten liturgical series that we did throughout all of Lent, which highlighted the Jewish roots of our faith. As we learned, the Last Supper is the new Passover that Jesus instituted on the night before he was to be crucified, and that we partake in at every single Mass on that altar in a very special way this evening. A source of healing. My friends, in this past year and even today, we have experienced a world and a society that is so divided, a tumultuous society influenced by elections, the virus, racism, materialism, cancel culture, the continual breakdown of the family unit, not to mention our own crosses and sins. And with all these together, they could have the power to shake us to our core. And so we look to our God and we ask, why, how? Help us. Will we ever recover? What can we do, Lord? Where are you? And these questions, or ones similar to them, may have pervaded your minds and hearts over the past year. And so we ask tonight, what is the solution? What is the vaccine or the cure to this sickness of our world? Is it protests? Is it new leaders? Is it war? The only cure, my friends, for our world, for our country, for our church, for our families, and for our individual hearts is the Eucharist. Nothing else will do. It is only Jesus himself, truly present in the Eucharist, that will heal, unite, restore, sustain, transform, and ultimately bring us eternal life. Eternal life in heaven, my friends, which is what we were created for. A place of pure love forever. My brothers and sisters, out of all the great works and miracles that Jesus performed here on earth, it is the Eucharist which is the greatest miracle. Why? If we reflect a bit more, we will be able to see that the Eucharist is the only miracle of Jesus that promises you that you will live forever, as we hear in John chapter 6, verses 51, when Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." The wine at the wedding at Cana eventually ran out. Peter walked on water, but only for a short time. Demons were cast out, and then people sinned again. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but then would eventually have to die. It is only the miracle of the Eucharist that lasts forever. A taste of heaven. My friends, for it is through the Eucharistic celebration of the Mass in which we are already uniting ourselves with the heavenly liturgy, which is an anticipation of eternal life. The Eucharist sustains and perfects the body of Christ here on earth until the last day we will be in perfect peace and unity with all the saints, and the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit forever. This longing for union is a cry for complete fulfillment, a longing that will never be completed this side of heaven. It is Jesus' gift of the Eucharist that gives us hope and strength for the journey. Thus, this deep longing for union and communion that every single person experiences is a longing for the Eucharist. It's a longing for heaven, a longing for complete and total union with our God. Now, some of you have felt the pain and longing of not being able to receive the Eucharist at certain points over the past year. Last Holy Week, most of you watched Mass online as you thirsted for this community, thirsted for the Eucharist. Other times throughout the year, many of you had to quarantine from either being sick with COVID or being exposed to others. And once again, some of you went without the Blessed Sacrament, sometimes for weeks at a time. Though this longing and thirst maybe hit some of you more than others, I'm not going to lie, I'm actually glad that you felt the pain and the longing of not being able to receive our Eucharistic Lord. Always remember how you felt during those times of desiring to receive the Eucharist when you could not. Allow those times to help you fall in love even more with our Eucharistic Lord, to be able to thirst for him always, and to unite with the body of Christ around the world, and glimpse the life of our brothers and sisters who only see a priest once a month in rural Brazil, or our brothers and sisters in countries in Africa who walk 10 to 15 miles every Sunday to go to Mass. Or maybe a brothers and sisters who are in China who are still having to have Mass in secret, underground, out of fear of losing their jobs or losing their loved ones. What a gift we have in the U.S. to be able to receive the Eucharist every single day if we want. Don't ever let the Eucharist become a common luxury. Remember always how sacred and special he is, a pure gift, the greatest gift. This is the reason I became a priest, and I think I can speak on behalf of both of my brothers here tonight. Priests give their lives to Christ and his bride, the church, yes, for the people, yes, for the amazing venture that it is, but ultimately for the Eucharist. If the Eucharist was only a symbol, I would not be here today. If the Eucharist was not the heartbeat of the church, I would not be standing before you here today. If the Eucharist was not the source of healing, unity, and nourishment for God's people, I would not be here today. The Eucharist is everything. And as Flannery O'Connor once said, if it isn't everything, to hell with it. Journal entry from November 23rd, 2020. Jesus, I had a huge moment of grace yesterday on the solemnity of Christ the King. I was walking back to the altar after giving communion out to your people. The students were all kneeling after just receiving you in the Eucharist. Lord, they're so reverent. I love it. The candles were all lit. The choir sounded beautiful and even angelic, I would say. I very much felt the power of Christ in me, and at the same time that I was his servant ready to go into battle. You have won the victory, Lord, and you have nourished and restored your people through your very body. I'm exhausted, but in a good way, poured out like a libation. I feel very blessed by the support of the religious sisters, my family, and my bros. Thank you for the witness of the students, Lord. They give me hope for the future of our church. Amen. And finally, the hour has come. As we are told in the gospel recounting the Last Supper, Jesus' hour had finally arrived. Throughout his public ministry, Jesus kept reminding his disciples, reminding us that his hour, the moment of his passion and death, and ultimately our salvation, had not yet come. But now, as our ears heard this evening in the upbuilding drama of the gospel, it is the hour that our Savior will be glorified has finally come. And in these last moments before he began these steps of agony, he washes the feet of his closest friends and then gives him his body in a ritual that he commanded them to do until he comes again. My friends, in just a moment, we will witness 12 of our brothers and sisters having their feet washed, a moment of great intimacy. As our friends' feet are washed, picture the Lord washing your feet as well. And ponder what this act says about our God, who our God is. Our God came to serve, not to be served, and calls us to do the same. The Savior of the world, the King of the universe, humbles himself out of love for his friends, an act that then leads to the ultimate sacrifice of giving up his very body at the table and on the cross out of love for us, out of love for you. The same lying down of the body of Christ, the one sacrifice that happens at this Mass and every Mass. And the Lord asks us as his disciples to do the same, to love our neighbors by humbling ourselves and giving up our lives out of love for them. Go forth in peace. Finally, on this holy night, in cities, rural villages, and parishes big and small, our Eucharistic Lord will be adorned on various altars across the world as the people of God keep watch with him and console him during his agony in the garden, a time to remember his great agony when he took on the sins of all of humanity, a time to be with him, a unity of prayer, of body, and of communion. A final journal entry from today, April 1st, 2021, 9 a.m., Jesus, it seems like it was just yesterday that it was Ash Wednesday and your faithful in the great state of Texas were thrown into chaos with a winter storm. Yet that was a good curveball you threw at us to start off Lent. But you reminded us again of how much we're not in control. And now after 40 days in the desert, Lord, and a few hours before the Triduum begins at dusk in Aggieland, I imagine the church being filled and overflowing with zealous students all thirsting for you. You love them, Lord, you love them, and you desire some of them to be your priests, and for all of them to be holy, and to receive you in the Eucharist. Take heart, Jesus, as you begin your passion and agony. We are here with you as your young church. We walk with you. We will keep watch with you, for your hour has come.
Thank you for listening to Aggie Catholic Homilies. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Be sure to check out our sister podcast, Aggie Catholic Talks, to hear talks from Magnify, Catholicism 101, and more. Thanks, God bless, and gig 'em.